The celebration of Christmas is perfectly timed. We banish the darkest days of the year with the brightest of celebrations. We decorate our homes with lights and evergreens. We sing the winter blues away. Thoughts of healthy eating are put on hold as we stock up with cupboards with comfort foods. And as moths are drawn to a flame, humans are drawn together in community at Christmas time. The lead up to today, Christmas Day, is always a flurry of shopping, cooking, decorating the house, gift wrapping. But late on Christmas Eve, activities begin to quieten down, and Christmas Day itself settles into its own unique stillness. Shops are closed. There's no public transport. Traffic is light. And people who rarely consider church feel drawn to sacred spaces today. The Christian story of the birth of Jesus, which is so well portrayed in Cribs, chimes perfectly with their emotions of these dark solstice days. Jesus was born at a time of political repression, upheaval, and insecurity. His parents shared the general poverty of their class. They were ordinary people trying to survive the Roman occupation. A child was born into less than ideal circumstances. But as always, the miracle of birth outshines everything. The birth of every child is the greatest miracle. And that great miracle of birth includes you and me. I think sometimes we forget that you are just as much a miracle when you were born and continue to be. The baby welcoming service in this church uses the words, "It is in the children that the hope of the world is ever renewed." The truth of those words echoes through history. Each night a child is born is a holy night. When we consider the libraries that have been written about the life of Jesus and its significance for humanity, when we think of the wars that have been fought in the name of Jesus and in the name of religions, there is a remarkable silence that surrounds the individual in the crib scenes. The shepherds and the wise men both told Mary and Joseph what they had heard concerning the birth of their son. And we are told that Mary kept the words in her heart and pondered them. Joseph is silent. And it's that silence that echoes to us, because it doesn't tell us what we should believe, shouldn't believe, or do, or anything else. It just speaks to our emotions. And of course, the world's most popular hymn is, of course, Silent Night. Perhaps it is this silence that speaks so eloquently to us even today. The silence allows the song of the angels to penetrate so that we hear it. It is in the silence that we're able to discern the brightness of the star. It is silence that allows us to appreciate the miracle of birth and the possibilities that new life brings, not just 2,000 years ago, but right now. And I know that two families in this congregation, at a minimum, are celebrating new births in their families, which is absolutely wonderful. We know how the life story of Jesus transpired. He lived his message of peace to all mankind. And he spent all the years he lived going around doing good deeds. He followed his star to its ultimate conclusion on a cross. And silence was a central part of his prayer life. We know how that, it is obvious. That's another thing about Jesus is, we think about it, he must have had terrific people skills. People were drawn to the person of Jesus because he made time to listen to them. He had the gift of making those he encountered feel understood and accepted just as they were. He never went around telling people how bad they were. He just listened to them and encouraged them to be better. And we see this trait in him, particularly in the story of, do you remember the woman with the hemorrhage? He was surrounded by people. And the woman thought, if I just touched him, I will be better. And he felt her distress, even in the press of the crowd. And you know, sometimes when we just acknowledge another person's pain or distress is enough to make them feel better. Christmas is, of course, about presence, as in gifts, and presence, as in who the people who are with us. And the gifts are far less important. It is the people who are present in our lives who are. While we love to gather with family at Christmas, the gatherings can be tricky. They do have their stresses. If, however, we were to take an example from Jesus and give people our attention, listen to them, make allowances, remember that this is a stressful time for everyone, we might reduce the stress. The celebration of Christmas Day and the enforced stillness of the day itself both have the power to open floodgates of memories for us. Memories of Christmases past. And for most of us, the memories will be some of our happiest experiences when childhood allowed us the imagination and the magic of Christmas to enchant us. You know that, I think an example of that is the ad, Barry's Tea ad for the train set. There is nothing like hearing that sound, and straight away you're back at a time of pure magic. But as Bill Darlison wrote in that reading this morning, Unitarians can be conflicted about Christmas. The rational part of the brain tells us that the nativity story is a story, and there is no need for conflict. Because December the 25th is a perfect day to mark the birth of Jesus. Because birth is always a good news story. The nativity story is so perfectly woven that it draws even the most cynical of us into its beauty. Christmas is a time of nostalgia. Memories of Christmas past have the power to evoke sadness in us. Christmas gatherings highlight the ebb and flow of family life. This Christmas, some families will celebrate the first Christmas with a new family member, while for other families, this Christmas will be marked by the permanent absence of some family members. The joy of Christmas highlights the absence of loved ones. And it's healthy to acknowledge the sadness, particularly of bereavement, knowing that loss is part of the richness of the human story. Absences are particularly to the fore this Christmas time. It's the time for homecomings, for reunions. It is the one time of the year when we do make an effort to meet up with old friends and family. This is our second Christmas of COVID-enforced separations. And it runs totally against the grain that we should be saying of Christmas, limited to 3 households. It's just against everything we do with Christmas. Come on in, have a drink, sit down, have a mince pie. The more the merrier. But these enforced separations should be acknowledged with the assurance that they will pass. We are in a better place this Christmas than we were this time last year. So let separation allow us to appreciate even more the people we have around us to share today with. Particularly today, pick up the phone and make contact with somebody you know who's alone. Because there are lonely people out there. The human need for connection at Christmas magnifies the pain for someone who is lonely. And let's temper our expectations of today. Today is not going to bring peace to the world or end wars or hunger. They will still be with us. But today is the day to appreciate the wonder of nature. The days are now going brighter. It's time to reconnect with the people in our lives. And we can still sing, laugh, and be joyful. We will celebrate life in spite of everything because the world is wonderful. It is a gift to be celebrated. And I wish each and every one of you a happy and peaceful Christmas. A joyful day.